جميع المؤمنين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Brothers and sisters, last couple of nights I was discussing with you all the issue of Ramadan al-Mubarak, that it is the Afatullah, that it is a divine invitation to a feast. We attend this whole feast for this whole month of Ramadan al-Mubarak, and naturally, like any other feast, there are these steps, you know, that if you imagine another feast, like holy month of Ramadan is a feast, Ziyafat. So for a Ziyafat, first you need to know the ahamiyat, the importance of this Ziyafat, right? The second thing is, how do you prepare for this Ziyafat? What we need to do to be ready for the Ziyafat, right? We mentioned earlier that what we need to do to prepare for the Ziyafat is Sawm, fasting. Importance of the Ziyafat, we have discussed a little bit. I'll go over more of that tonight. But I want to list out the things, those five things that any Ziyafat would need, you know. This month of Ramadan, the Ziyafat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires five things for understanding. First is the importance of the Ziyafat. The second thing is preparation for the Ziyafat, right? The third thing is, what are the etiquettes? Now that you attend this Ziyafat, what are the etiquettes? Adab of Ziyafat. How do you conduct yourself during this Ziyafat? For example, the holy month of Ramadan starts, days and nights, how we spend our day and nights? What are we supposed to observe during these days and nights? Well, Sawm entitles you, enables you to attend the Ziyafat, you know. But Adab is more than Sawm. So the Adab in the Riwayat, we find that what are the best things? Afdalul Amal. Those are the Adab. You know? Afdalul Amal. What are the best things that a person can do in the month of Ramadan, which the Prophet of Islam said, Al-Bara'u al-Maharimillah. The afdal al-amal. The best thing you can do is Al-Bara'u alaykum salam. To be away from the haram things. To keep away from haram things. That is the adab of this month. The adab, the afdal al-amal is to Al-Bara'u. Bara' means to be pure, to be clean, to abstain from what is haram. That is the adab of this month. So, and importance, right, and preparation, and then adab. Then you have, what are the best nights of this month? Like for example, if you are invited to a ziyafat, in that ziyafat which is like 2 hours long, let's say, 3 hours long, what is the most important part of that ziyafat? Yeah? Maybe the host will stand up and give a short speech. Alaykum salam. Maybe they are going to unveil something very important. Maybe they are going to make an announcement. Maybe there is something important in that ziyafat. So in this whole month of Ramadan, what is the highlight of this month? What is the most important part of this month? So we don't miss that. You know? What is the most important part of this month, if I ask you? Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr is the best part of this month, this Ziyafat. So we don't miss that. Because if we are fasting and fasting and we sleep through the Laylatul Qadr, then we have missed the most important part of this month. Then the fifth thing is, how to adab al-khuruj. How do you leave this month? How do you come out of this month? How do you say farewell to this month? It's like, you know, when you are attending a ziyafat and the ziyafat comes to an end, for example, you take the permission and you thank the host for inviting you and then you leave, right? You don't just squeeze out of the door still. You just, you know, you make an effort to thank the person and to, you know, to, for example, if you came late, you can apologize, say, I was stuck somewhere in traffic or something, I got late, you know. Or for example, you say that, you know, I wanted to do more than this, but I could not, right? For example, people bring huge gifts and other things. You say, this, I wanted to bring something, but I could not, you know, time did not allow or something. So you come and kind of touch base with the host before you leave. So those are the adab of wida' Shahr Ramadan. In this ziyafat of Allah, in this holy month, we don't just say, okay, now fasting is done, we are tired now, the month is over, when will it come time for Eid, so we celebrate. No. This is a time for coming out of the month. The wida' of the holy month of Ramadan is also a very important thing. Just as the istiqbal, welcoming of the holy month of Ramadan is important, the departure from the holy month of Ramadan is equally important. It has to be observed. There are du'as related to that. Just the state of mind that now this great feast of Allah is coming to an end. And what did I take from it? What was my share from this month? Did I gain something? What were my shortcomings? Did I lose something? Right? For example, are we sure we received the barakat of this month? How much did we? So in the end we take account of that and we speak to Allah and say, oh Allah, my shortcomings, I apologize for it. And you speak to the holy month of Ramadan and say, oh my companion, you were with me for this month and now you are leaving, you know. You brought so much blessing with yourself, now you are leaving and all these blessings will go away after you go away, right? So this is all about wida' Shahr Ramadan. It is very important therefore. We mentioned that regarding the first point, you know, ahamiyatu this hadhihi ziyafa, the importance of this ziyafa, why this ziyafa has been created. And actually a part of that ziyafa is fasting. What sort of a ziyafa is it in which you don't eat? When you don't eat, how can it be a ziyafa? What is the hikmat of this ziyafa, you know? So I'm going to just read a few lines from the Aqwal, the beautiful words, Aqwal Nurani, you know, of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. For example, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is reported in Nahjul Balagha. He said, حَرَسَ عِبَادَهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِالصَّلَوَاتِ وَالزَّكَوَاتِ وَالْمُجَاهَدَةِ الصِّيَامِ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْمَفْرُوضَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected, guarded His servants who are believers with a few things. He has guarded, you know, harasa. You know what Hurras in Arabic is? Guards, guardians, protect. So Allah has protected His servants through His believers so that to protect their iman, right? Protect their iman. He has guarded and protected the iman of His servants through a few things. One, bis-salawat, through the prayers, the five prayers a day, you know. The other is zakawat, the different taxes, Islamic obligations, monetary obligations. Pay zakat, homes, whatever we do. وَمُجَاهَدَةِ السِّيَامِ, and the struggle and jihad that you do in observing the fasting fil ayyam al mafruḍat, in those assigned days. You don't just Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan is a specific time. Why? Taskeenan li atrafihim. So that the body is relaxed, you know, our a'za are relaxed. Taskeenan li atrafihim. We can take a lot of message from this. For example, if siyam is for taskeenan li atrafihim, so that our body is also relaxed. How does our body relax? Can anyone help us with understanding this? How is taskeenan li atrafihim? So fasting? How is it taskeenan li atraf, little body, for the body? How is it a relaxation for the body? For the stomach, right? Stomach is baytudda. Stomach is the house of illness. Stomach is the house of illness. What we eat causes either health or sickness. So, and also the daily exercise that our stomach is doing in digesting food. So fasting gives this break to this digestive system. And other things too. For example, the rest of the body also gets a relaxation. How? When you take it easy a little bit. It's time to fast. It's time for you to take it a little easy and focus on the ruhaniyat, the spiritual side. And take your material side a little easy, you know. We are stressing our physical system, our body and our systems of our body all year round. And this time of the year, that 1 month, we give a break to our body. So those people who say, oh, we can do everything and fast also. You cannot. Okay, if you do everything and you fast, where is the time for reading Quran? Where is the time for reading those du'as? Where is the time for munajat? Dua al-Sahar, where is the time for that? There will be no time left. You are working, for example, 7 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, or worrying about it, or thinking about it, or doing the homework, the calculation, and thinking, worrying about. So now, we are not living in a Muslim country, so this point is a little hard to manage, you know. For example, our employers don't care about our fasting. So we have to think about how we can relax ourselves. How we can take less burden so that we can attend to our spiritual needs. It is something everyone has to think for himself. How best can you do that? Maybe through better communication with the employers, you know. For example, as you have to pray at the workplace, you have to pray, for example, somehow you communicate with your employer that, you know, I need a few minutes to pray. Now, if you are fasting, you can communicate with your employer also. If it's your own business, it's good for you. If it's you are working for somebody, then you communicate, help them understand why fasting, why you fast, and what is it about. تَخْشِعًا لِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. Our eyes become khashi', you know, eyes become humble and khashi'. تَذْلِيلًا لِنُفُوسِهِمْ. You know, this, we are becoming more arrogant. We think very high about ourselves. Very high. In our eyes, we think more than what we really are. It's good to like yourself, to care about yourself, but when we think too highly about ourselves, I am better than other people, I am superior to other people. So this tazleelam lilifusim, fasting helps us humble ourselves. Basically be realistic, you know. That's what we really are. You're not asking something different. تَخْفِيضًا لِقُلُوبِهِمْ. And our hearts, you know, our hearts become soft. Hearts become soft. وَإِذْهَابًا لِلْخُيَلَاءِ عَنْهُمْ. It removes the takabbur. Khuyala is more about how a person conducts himself. The way you talk to people, the way you walk, the way you behave, the way, you know. For example, generally we may not be very good, let's say, very good listeners. When I'm talking Islamic terms, not in the way language they use here. I mean, like for example, we don't care so much about others' needs. Here you care for others' needs, you know. You put aside that mask you are wearing, like we are this and we are that, you know. The way we have identity we have developed about ourselves, we put that aside and humble ourselves, you know. And you know, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا, right? What other ayat in Holy Quran? عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمْ جَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. So they are humble, right? They're humble, the way they conduct themselves. It's not just about walking, it's about behavior. Behavior, for example. We may not care so much about other people, about our relations, for example. Sulatul Rahim. You know, for example, we forget about what happened to our brother, what happened to our sister, what happened to our family. Now it's time for us to think. Really, you know. Think. How we do that? Well, there are many ways which help us do that, you know. This one is mentioned so many riwayat. I'm just picking one of them. When Imam Hussein alayhi salatu was salam, he was asked, fi bayan illat as-siyam, Imam alayhi salam said, according to this riwayat of Al-Manaqib ibn al-Shahrashub, he said, لِيَجِدَ الْغَنِيُّ مَسَّ الْجُوعُ فَيَعُودَ بِالْفَضْلِ عَلَى الْمَسَاكِينَ. So that the rich person, wealthy person, he feels the pain of hunger. A rich person feels the pain of hunger. فَيَعُودَ. So he turns towards the needy people with his generosity, fazl, you know, grace. He starts showing his kindness to the poor people. We cannot empathize until we really feel what the other person is experiencing, right? Many of us, we care about, for example, how will we feel if we are out? This other riwayat, you know, it's very, really, really very beautiful. This is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. إنما فرض الله الصيام ليستوي به الغني والفقير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made siyam, fasting, an obligation so that the rich and the poor will be the same level. ليستوي, they will be alike, equal level. وذلك, how? وذلك أن الغني لم يكن ليجد مس الجوع فيرحم الفقير لأن الغني كلما أراد شيئا قدر عليه. Because the person who is wealthy, he would not feel the pain of hunger with which he could show mercy for the poor people. He does not feel hunger. Why? Because a wealthy person, whenever he wants something, he goes and gets it. He goes buy food, cars, whatever he needs, you know. Just say, okay, write a check and get it. فَأَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَن يُسَوِّيَ بَيْنَ خَلْقِهِ. So Allah planned and intended that to make all His servants equal. وَأَن يُذِيقَ الْغَنِيَّ مَسَّ الْجُوعِ, and to give a taste of hunger to the rich person, wealthy person. And these are all, you know, relative. One person may be wealthy compared to another person. And the same person may be poor in relation to a more wealthy person. But the people who are below you, you are wealthy with respect to them, right? Right now I am wealthy with respect to many people who have no house, no clothing, no food to wear, right? In so many places in the world right now, even in this country, there are people who are on food stamps. You know, they don't even get food stamps, you know. So there are homeless people in this country also. لِيَّرِقَّ عَلَى الضَّعِيفِ فَيَرْحَمَ الْجَاعِرِ. So that his heart will soften. رِقَّ, you know. His heart will become soft for the weak people. And he will show rahmat and mercy to the hungry people. So these are the hikmah. This also helps us understand the ahamiyat of this month. Ahamiyat of fasting. Which is part of ahamiyat of the ziyafatullah. Ahamiyat of the ziyafatullah partly is because of the ahamiyat of fasting in this month. That this fasting brings so much benefit for us, changes our mindset, you know. It shakes us up in a way, because We were used to this, you know, routine. We pay our bills, we live, we think, you know, always thinking of ourselves, oh, I'm such a bad shape. Oh no, if I had $1 million, I would be so much better. Right? For example, if you are riding a, let me say, think for example, what is the name of a small car, for example? A small old car. Let's give me an example.
Smart car.
Smart car is small but not old. It's expensive car, brother. Give me example of a small and old car, you know.
Fiat.
Cheap, huh?
Fiat.
Yes, Fiat, for example, right? $3,000, $4,000 car. You're riding that car, and next to you a Jaguar passes. Shoo! $50,000 car passes right next to you. Now, many people, what do? When this happens, when they see this beautiful car, it's expensive. What happens? What comes to their mind?
They wish they have some.
Yeah, wish to have. Ya laytana mithla ma utiyat qarun, right? Something, this ayat of this kind, madmun, is in Holy Quran. It says, we wish we had what Qarun has, right? And why do we do that? Because this is because psychologically we are weak. If we were strong, we would not say that to ourselves. We would not compare ourselves to this myself. I would not compare myself with this rich guy, right? And if I do, because of my weakness, if I do, what should I do? You tell me. If this happens, I start. No, see, if I think about that Jaguar, and I can't afford it. Right? Voice operated, automatic, everything, you know. I cannot afford that car. But I am comparing my car, my living, with that guy's living. And as a result, how do I feel?
Down.
I feel down, right? Huzn. In Arabic they call it huzn. In English what do they call it? Sadness, grief, depression. All this depression comes from this fact that, you know, you want something but you can't get it. If you can't get something, you feel sad about it. But not being able to achieve something. What is the cure for this? What is the treatment for this? Can anyone help me out?
Think about somebody not dying.
Anything else?
Wish Allah to give the person more, better car.
Better car for him? He'll take away from me maybe. Well, maybe, yeah. Okay. But that's a good, you know, sabr. But what you said, you know, this really is the cure. Think about the person who is poorer than you, who is lower than you. If you think about the person who doesn't even have a car, who stands on the bus stop every morning and gets to work in 1.5 hours, right? Or 1 hour. And then, you know, when he's tired from work, he comes back, waits for the bus in hot, you know, and then he goes back home hungry and tired, right? He's saving every penny and every dime so that he will have some food on the table for his family. You compare yourself and think more, you know, what happens when you are poor? What happens? When the bill comes, electric bill, or let's say another bill comes and says, okay, oh, $200, $150, $100. I don't even have $10 in my pocket. How am I going to pay this? What happens? This person, you know, anxiety, the fear of all that. What will happen to me? Of course, he prays to Allah, he does whatever, you know, because now for some rich people, they think that, oh, these poor people, you know what, they don't work hard. Some people think that, you know, these poor people are poor because they are not smart enough. They don't work hard. If they were just as smart as I am, if they worked just as hard as I did, they would achieve it. This is what Qarun also said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Qarun said, I am so rich because I am so smart. عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ, because I have the knowledge, that's why I am so wealthy. The person said to Qarun, no, don't say, why you say that? You should say that Allah, this is the rahmat of Allah, this is the fazl of Allah upon me. This is not my own achievement, my own accomplishment. So you see, when you compare yourself with a person at a higher economic status, and you feel that, you know, oh, I wish I had such a nice car or such a nice house, what do? You tell yourself, I should not compare myself with anyone, first of all. Now that I have compared, let me compare myself really with the person I should compare myself with. And who is that person? That's a person who is more poor than me, whose income is half my income or one-tenth of my income. And then I will realize, what will I realize? What will I realize? You tell me. Sorry? Yeah, it will create the sense of shukr. Right now we were complaining. Oh, I wish I had a six-figure salary. I would have bought such a house. I would have bought this kind of a car. And now you look at the person who is on the street, or who worked hard, who's got his degree and everything, but lost his job. And he can't find a job in this economy, let's say. You compare yourself with that person who is qualified but cannot make enough money. And you say, well, at least I am able to pay my bill. At least I have a car. At least I have a family. There's so many people, you know, because of some natural disaster, they lost their family. There are people who lost their family because of earthquakes, because of tsunami, because of floods, because of God knows what. They lost their family just like that. So many, our own community, Shia community in the United States, road accident. Whole family died. I know a person who lost 6 members of his family, is alone survivor. 6 family, all his family died. He was the only survivor. Alhamdulillah, I should feel grief for that person, consolation, and I should thank Allah, I have health, I have safety. There's so many people who are blind, they can't see, they can't hear, right? They cannot stand. I can stand up and walk. I can talk, I have a tongue, you know. There's so many people who are born with some disabilities. Alhamdulillah, think about, because very important to treat this problem. If we don't treat this problem, it will create hirs. It will create tamah, greed. And what happens? Greed leads to more anguish, more depression, more grief. Because with greed, you want, for example, to be a shaykh. You cannot become a shaykh. Shaykh means like, you know, shaykh in Emirat or somewhere. You can't become that shaykh. Now you're living with this grief all your life. Why? No need to feel grieved about it. What you have is enough to be happy. What you have is more than what a lot of people in this world have, you know. You have more than many people have. So this is something to remember. I have this, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have education, don't have a job right now, don't say, I don't have a job. You say, there's so many people who don't have education, and I have education. I was able to complete my college. There's so many people who dropped out of college because of family circumstances. They could not continue their studies. So many people who were in schools, they dropped out because they could not continue, they can finish their high school. Isn't this something to thank Allah for? These are all ni'mat. And we usually, with this routine life, we don't even worry or think about these things. But this holy month of Ramadan brings to our attention these very important things which make a person, which build our personality. How do we want to build our personality? Just a few more minutes. So, also this other riwayat from Imam Rida alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. فيما جمعه الفضل بن الشاذان من كلامه في علل الفرائض فإن قيل if someone says فلما أمروا بالصوم, why were people commanded to do fasting? It should be said, Imam al-Islam, as is reported, he said لكي يعرفوا ألم الجوع والأتش, so they feel the pain of hunger and thirst. ويستدلوا على فقر الآخرة, and this hunger will yastadillu, with this they can argue and they can understand the faqr of akhirat, the neediness, the need that we will have on the day of judgment, that we will have nothing, On the day of judgment, there will be no house, no bank balance, no car, no credit card, nothing. There's no refuge on the day of Qiyamah except mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِيَكُونَ الصَّائِمُ خَاشِعًا ذَلِيلًا مُسْتَكِينًا. So that the person who is fasting should become, have khushu. See, khawf is something from a danger. Khushu is something from haybat, greatness of something. You know, greatness of something. ذَلِيلًا مُسْتَكِينًا. Feels himself as small. ذِلَّة is relative. Compared to aziz, you are ذَلِيل. مُسْتَكِينًا مَأْجُورًا مُحْتَسِبًا عَارِفًا. Knowledge is the outcome of it. Knowledge is the final outcome of this khushu. Knowledge is the final outcome of this fasting. Knowledge is the final, ma'rifat is the final outcome of this zillat. صَابِرًا عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُ مِنَ الْجُوعِ وَالْعَطَشِ. Become more resilient, you know, patient on the whatever strikes him, you know. For example, hunger, difficulties, hardships in life that come for every person. I used to see a lot of patients as a counselor. I saw a patient and he was in really bad shape. His back was really hurting and everything. So he told me a story. I said, what do you do these days? How you are so much? He said, I wash parking lots with pressure pumps, you know. I wash parking lots and I wash glasses, windows of the big buildings. That's what I do. They come down from those hanging cords, you know, and they've washed. And this washing parking lot, it broke my back really. I said, you were not used to this kind of work before? He said, no, I wasn't. He said, so what did you do before? He said, I was a millionaire. I had a huge house and I would just go in a dealership and said, this, I need this car, I need that one, you know. This is how much money I had. And this is the way they live here. No, I had a girlfriend, he said, and so I had everything. I didn't care about her because all the time I was busy with other things or whatever he was doing. So he said, then I lost my job. This bubble burst, you know, this, what do you call this? Bubble burst economy. And then he said, I was literally on the street. My house was foreclosed, my girlfriend ran away, you know. And I would apply, send 100 resumes a day and nothing will happen. So I said, I have to help survive. So I just found a roommate, I found a place. I was sleeping in my car for some time, then I found some place. Then I was washing with these. He said, I was used to a very comfortable life. Now this pressure pumps and this hard work broke my back. 1 year passed. This is the sad part, or whatever you call it. 1 year later, I saw the same guy. He had set up his own company and back to work and making money. Back to the same old ways. Nothing changed. The one girlfriend to another, whatever nonsense he was doing. Back to the same, everything the same. You know, this is the problem with that love of this dunya, hubbud dunya, rasu kulli khatiyah, hubbud dunya. The root of every evil is the love of this dunya. It is like a sarab, you know, like a mirage, you know. And you keep chasing it and keep running after it. By the time when you get there, you find nothing over there. You find nothing. You thought it was water. You ran all this 5 miles and you got there, you find this. There's no water here. This dunya is like that. It's like this compared to the sea, ocean water, you know. Salty water, the more you drink, the more thirsty you get. And it's very misleading and very deceiving because it leads to, the real dunya doesn't change. You see, what this planet is the same as it was before we came. We will leave this world and this planet will stay the same. Almost the same, few structures which may go away any time with any flood. So I'm saying, it's almost the same. So what is the problem with dunya? The problem is here. The problem is not the dunya. Ad-dunya daru sidqin liman saddaqaha. Alaykum as-salam. Dunya, the Ma'ali alayhi salatu wa salam said, dunya is the place of sidq, truth, for a person who realizes that, a person who verifies this truth, that this is such a place, temporary place, it's fading away. My dunya is, even if this dunya stays, I will not stay. I will not stay to enjoy this dunya. This dunya might stay forever, as long as far as I know, you know. It might never perish. But I am not going to stay here. And that's what counts. Am I going to stay here? So the problem is not with the what you we call dunya, it's the hubb dunya. What the Quran called akhlada ilal ard, that a person wants to stay in this dunya forever. And he knows that he's going to die, but behaves as if he's going to stay in this dunya forever. And naturally that's why you see the awliya and anbiya alayhi salam, and from them we learn how they spend their lives. For example, how they fasted. How they, for example, struggled to help. For example, regarding the seerah of Janab Ali Akbar alayhi salatu wasalam, I read in the riwayat that in the evening he used to cook food, and at night he used to go up a hill and light up fire, you know, a fire. So that the poor people in Medina, they would see that as a sign, and they would come up and he would feed them with his hand, you know, feed those people. You don't just become Ali ul Akbar just like that. You don't just become Ali Akbar because you are the son of Imam Hussain. You have become Ali Akbar because you are, see, Imam Hussain said, you know, Wallah, Allahumma shahad ala ha'ula al-qawm, fa'inna, what was that? Qad baraza ilayhim ghulamun ashbahu an-nas khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan fa rasul. Because he was in his likeness, physical likeness, and in his personality and character, he was just like the Holy Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would not just go to bed and think and forget about people. He was at that time, and he had what he could give, he would go out and give it, share it, and that's the kind of level of, you know, insaniyat that these great people had. And we can learn a lot from them, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this tawfiq, that this fasting in this month opens our heart and opens our mind, inshallah. And we, body is humble, and the feeling that we can have for the poor people, and the sense, the humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should create, so we don't forget who we really are and what this dunya really is. May Allah make the zuhur of Imam close. Salawat, please.